الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Nawaitu sunnatal i'tikaf. Honorable brothers in attendance, viewers of Madini Channel, there are many excellences in relation to sending salawat upon the best of creation, our beloved Prophet Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. In Musnadul Firdaus, it's reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, As-salatu alayya Noorun ala sirat. Sending salat upon me will be noor on the bridge of sirat. وَمَنْ صَلَّ عَلَيَّ يَوْمَ الْجُمُعَةِ ثَمَانِينَ مَرَّةً. And whoever sends salat upon me 80 times on the day of Jumu'ah, غُفِرَ لَهُ ذُنُوبُ ثَمَانِينَ عَامًا. Allah Ta'ala will forgive 80 years of that person's sins. Now, subhanAllah, in this hadith, we're told that whoever recites salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that salat ala nabi will transform into noor on the day of judgment. And it will be a guiding light for such a person. This blessed individual who occupied his time in sending durood sharif upon the Prophet alayhi wa sallam, it will be a light, a guiding light for him on the bridge of sirat. The ulama have said the sins that have been mentioned in this hadith, it refers to minor sins, saghira guna. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Let's make some good intentions, honorable brothers, viewers of Madini Channel, that we're going to listen to the bayan only to attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah. Whatever we listen to, we will try our utmost to remember it. How? By avoiding all forms of distractions, by not looking at who is coming and going, by avoiding usage of the phone and other various forms of distraction, inshallah. Also make the intention, whatever you remember, you will act upon it yourself and you will spread this information, this sacred knowledge, to others as well, inshallah. Like this, whenever you have an opportunity to do good deeds, make good intentions prior to doing that good deed in abundance, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala sent prophets and messengers alayhim salam to mankind. All of them were at the peak of excellence, peak of perfection, meaning in terms of human perfection, in terms of sabr, patience, in terms of resilience, in terms of confronting and facing calamities. They were mountains of istiqama, steadfastness. All of the Anbiya alayhim salam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in particular, He has singled out five messengers alayhim salam from approximately 124,000 prophets and messengers alayhim salam. He has singled them out. Why has He singled them out? Because in terms of showing resoluteness in the cause of Allah, facing difficulties in the paths of truth, in this difficult path of truth, they were the foremost. Nobody attained their rank. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions them in Al-Quran Al-Kareem. وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ مِيثَاقَهُمْ وَمِنْكَ وَمِنْ نُوحٍ وَإِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى وَعِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمَ وَأَخَذْنَا مِنْهُمْ مِيثَاقًا غَلِيظًا. Translation: Remember when we took from the prophets their oath, and from you, and from Nuh, Ibrahim, Musa, and Isa, son of Maryam. We took a firm oath from them. Allah Ta'ala singled out five prophets. Number one, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number two, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. Number three, Prophet Musa alayhi salam. Number four, Prophet Isa alayhi salam. And number five, Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. Now these five messengers, they are known as Ulul Azm, highly resolute messengers, meaning they were tested the most and they passed every single test with patience, with resoluteness, with determination, with istiqamah, with steadfastness. Today, inshallah, we will have the honor of speaking briefly regarding one of these five prophets known as Ulul Azm, and that prophet is Sayyiduna Musa ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. And as we will hear later on, Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam is that honorable prophet who has been mentioned by name the most from any other prophet in Al-Quran al-Kareem. If you open Al-Quran al-Kareem and you study it, Prophet Musa alayhi salam is mentioned the most. He's a great prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's hear about his beginning, meaning his nurturing, what happened, miraculous things happened right from the off, subhanallah. The name of Prophet Musa alayhi salam's father was Imran. And Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam is from the descendants of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. He was born 400 years after the passing of Sayyiduna Yusuf alayhi salam and 700 years after the passing of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam lived for a total of 120 years. Now, the name of his mother was Yuhanath. Allah Almighty inspired her either through a dream, an angel, or in ilham. What happened, just to give you a bit of a background, when Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam was born, that coincided with a dream of Fir'aun. Fir'aun had a dream that a child was to be born, and it was interpreted that that child would go on to dismantle the empire of Fir'aun. Fir'aun's empire would collapse. So what did he do? He had every baby boy killed. Na'udhu billah. A lot of children were killed. Now, Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam was that child who would go on to eventually defeat Fir'aun, meaning he would topple Fir'aun's empire, and we'll hear a bit about that in due course. Because Musa alayhi salam was that child who would remain alive, who would grow up, who would challenge Fir'aun, how did he survive? Because the young babies were being killed. Allah Ta'ala inspired his mother. Allah Ta'ala told his mother through ilham or an angel or in a dream. He said, give milk to Musa alayhi salam. Give milk to him. When you suspect that a neighbor may realize that you have a child in your house, or he may begin to complain, Fir'aun finds out, before you know it, Fir'aun's people are at your house. When you suspect this, and they come to, ma'adallah, take the life of Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam, what to do is, place him in the river Nile of Egypt. Without any fear. Allah Ta'ala is saying this to Musa alayhi salam's mother. Don't have any fear whatsoever. So what did she do? She placed him in a specially made, you could say, box, and in a chest, and then he set afloat on the river Nile. Allah Ta'ala told her, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid that he'll drown or he'll suffer any harm. Allah Ta'ala is the muhafiz. Allah Ta'ala is the protector. So what is there to fear? So she did that. She placed him in the river Nile and she sent him into the river at night. Now what happened? That very chest wherein Musa alayhi salam was reached Fir'aun's palace. Before we hear a bit about that, how he was named Musa, let's hear about that. When Musa alayhi salam reached the palace, there was a bit of discussion between Asiya, the honorable wife of Fir'aun, and Fir'aun. Fir'aun said, let's kill this child. She said, no, look, we are childless. We don't have children. Let's take this child in. Look, he's come here miraculously next to our palace. Let's bring him in. Let's look after him. Let's nurture him. And when he's nurtured in our house, he'll be faithful to us. He'll be obedient to us. So, Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam was taken in by Fir'aun and his wife Asiya. Now, Asiya, Lady Asiya, rahmatullahi alayha, she was the one who named him. What did she name him? Musa. Now, in the Coptic language, which was the language they spoke, Mu referred to water. And Sa means tree. Because Musa alayhi salam was found between water and trees, she named him Musa. This is the reason behind his name, Musa. Now, Lady Asiya, the honorable wife of Fir'aun the tyrant, when she saw throughout her life miracles of Musa alayhi salam, she saw how Musa alayhi salam overcame the magicians, defeated the magicians. We'll hear a bit about them later on. She embraced Islam. Fir'aun found out. Fir'aun tortured her. She said, I'm not giving up my faith. She was so determined. She was so steadfast. She showed so much loyalty to Islam. Eventually, Fir'aun, the tyrant and oppressor that he was, he had her killed. But not in no ordinary way, in a very, Allahu Akbar, oppressive, slow death. She suffered quite a bit. He had her hands nailed to the ground, feet as well, and a massive boulder was placed on her stomach. But the scholars say by that time, her soul had left her body by the time the boulder was placed on her, so she did not suffer from that. But she suffered nevertheless. She gave her own life in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She said, make me a house in paradise. Grant me a palace in paradise. And she passed away upon iman. She was steadfast. She gave her life for the cause of Islam. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she embraced faith in Prophet Musa ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wassalam. Now, this is a lesson for us as well. That today when we find difficulties in the path of truth, if we're traveling on the path of sunnah, in a day and age where people, na'udhu billah, they frown upon those who act upon the sunnah. They say, or you become a maulvi, or don't go too deeply into it. You know, we're all Muslims, it's fine, you don't have to practice so much. And people are very off-putting. They don't motivate, they don't encourage. And if they find out one of their own children is pursuing Quranic studies, for example, is probably memorizing Quran, instead of encouraging that child, instead of realizing that this could be a means of their own forgiveness in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they discourage that child. And this is not something that I'm making up. This is something common. This is something that I hear and we witness time and time again. Somebody's not allowed to study the deen, practice the deen. Obstacles are placed in their way. But as for those people who want to pursue seeking knowledge of the deen, practicing the deen, and they have these obstacles in their way, they shouldn't lose heart. Some people lose heart very quickly. They become frustrated, and before you know it, they become non-practicing. That shouldn't be the case. These stories that we hear from Al-Quran Al-Kareem, Ahadith Al-Kareema, these should encourage us. And Lady Asiya, she knew that her life was going to be taken. She knew that Fir'aun would not tolerate the fact that she had embraced faith in Islam. She had become a Muslim. She had become a follower of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. But did that stop her in her tracks? Did that make her leave the deen to appease Fir'aun, to stay alive? No. She gave her most valuable thing. She gave her life for Islam, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And today, thousands of years later, we are still mentioning her. The Quran mentions her. The Quran mentions that dua of hers as well. So these people are a big lesson for us that today if we find difficulties in the path of religion, so if you keep a beard, for example, and people are discouraging you, people are saying, oh, you're too young for it now. Say, look, this is a sunnah of my beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's got nothing to do with age. And then people discourage, oh, if you keep a beard, how are you going to find a spouse? How are you going to get married? How is this going to happen? Some people have ajeeb, weird way of looking at things. If you study the deen, you're going to remain, hungry, you'll starve to death, this will happen, that will happen. Not knowing, and this is all because of a lack of knowledge, not knowing that if there is anyone in creation who Allah Ta'ala guarantees the rizq for them, it's the students of sacred knowledge. So, we need to become an ummah who encourages others when they are doing good. We see someone who wants to become a scholar, wants to become a hafiz, who wants to study the deen, wants to become practicing, we should encourage him, even if we're not practicing ourselves, even if we're not at that level ourselves. And we should never ever become a means of discouraging someone. So, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he was a great prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me just summarize some points regarding Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. These are mentioned in the Quran, ahadith kareema as well. We heard before that from all the prophets and messengers alayhi salam, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam is mentioned the most in Al Quran al Kareem. This was a book revealed to our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the name of Musa alayhi salam, his dhikr is mentioned the most. In fact, the scholars have calculated and his name has been mentioned 136 times in Al-Quran al-Karim. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam was given a divine scripture, a book known as Tawrat, the Tawrat Sharif. He was honored to speak directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala numerous times. And this is why he has the title Kaleemullah, the one who conversed with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala summoned him to Mount Sinai, directed him towards the mountain and revealed his glory, meaning Allah's glory there. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam was granted many miracles. We're going to hear a few of them as well. He met with Prophet Khidr alayhi salam, a famous account in Al-Quran al-Kareem. Famous account. Allah Almighty granted Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam immense strength and power. Subhanallah, his beauty was matchless. He was a very handsome man, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. He was elegantly simplistic in nature. On the night of Mi'raj, the ascension, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam offering salah in his grave. The Prophet alayhi salam related this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam led all the Anbiya alayhi salam in prayer in Masjid al-Aqsa. And therefore Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam is distinguished and honored to have offered salah behind the greatest imam, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now due to the wasila of Musa alayhi salam, due to the wasila, the medium, the intermediary of Musa alayhi salam, the salah which was originally 50 prayers that were obligated for the ummah, they came down to how many? 5 prayers, just 5 prayers. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that I've tried with my own ummah, but they couldn't even offer 2 prayers. 5 prayers or 50 prayers. So each time it was reduced time and time again. You know the full story, until 5 prayers are obligated and you gain the reward of 50 prayers. This is the barakah of Musa ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wassalam. Now, when Musa alayhi salam hit the rock with his staff, water gushed forth from that rock. Again, when Musa alayhi salam struck the river Nile with his staff, what happened? 12 pathways were formed and the Bani Israel were able to escape the tyranny, the torture of Fir'aun via these pathways. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, due to his blessings, Allah Ta'ala descended man and salwa for the people of Bani Israel. Man was a sweet dish like honey, and salwa were roasted quails. Whenever Bani Israel were punished due to not following his instructions, what would they do? They would come running to Musa alayhi salam, that we have been afflicted now. So they wouldn't listen to him initially. They would be punished and then they would come to him and say, help us, and he would help them. And Musa alayhi salam was created in a manner where he was free from all flaws, defects and imperfections. He didn't have any flaws. Let's hear a few miracles of Musa ala nabina wa alayhi salam, and in particular his staff, asa. This asa that Allah Ta'ala granted to Musa alayhi salam, there are many miracles related to that staff. Firstly, when Fir'aun once arranged a big festival, he wanted to overpower and overwhelm Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. So he called all the expert magicians and sorcerers. And when they threw their ropes, it's mentioned, and staffs, those ropes and staffs turned into serpents. This was their sorcery. This was their magic. But then Musa alayhi salam threw his own staff, and it became a giant serpent. It niggled all of the other serpents. And there and then, everyone witnessed the haqqaniya, the truthfulness of Musa alayhi salam. So much so that those sorcerers, those magicians, they fell into sajda, into prostration. And what did they say? Amanna bi Rabbi Harun wa Musa. We believe in the Lord of Harun and Musa alayhi salam. So they had witnessed the truth. But Fir'aun, because he was stubborn, because he was arrogant. Remember, Fir'aun claimed godship for himself. I'm your superior Lord. I am your lofty Lord. So he wasn't going to believe in Musa alayhi salam or Harun alayhi salam. But the sorcerers did. And the sorcerers know that they would be punished for it. But this is Iman. When Iman enters the hearts, when it penetrates the hearts, when it takes root in the hearts, then a person doesn't look at the consequences of embracing Islam, believing in Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They are willing to give everything for the sake of Iman. Just as Sayyidatuna Asiya rahmatullahi alayha did. Just as these sorcerers did. A second miracle that Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, it said that he struck a stone with his staff and 12 springs of water miraculously gushed forth from that rock. Each of the Bani Israel, 12 households of the Bani Israel, were able to drink from their own designated spring and even gave the water to their animals as well. I mean, that's how much water gushed forth as well. And this flow of water, how long did it last? The ulama have written for 40 years. With the barakah of Musa alayhi salam being amongst them, these miracles took place. And then thirdly, the splitting of the sea. We know that when Fir'aun and his armies, his cavalries pursued the Bani Israel, again Allah Ta'ala instructed Musa alayhi salam to strike his staff in the river Nile. 12 pathways were formed. And the Bani Israel were able to cross the river easily, without any hardship whatsoever. When Fir'aun and his army saw this miraculous scene, imagine the river, 12 pathways, they thought, we'll be able to go through as well. We'll reach the other side, we'll take care of them, we'll deal with the Bani Israel. But look at the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those very same pathways that Musa alayhi salam and his followers, the Bani Israel, passed through. As soon as Fir'aun entered, they reached maybe halfway, the river closed. All of those pathways, the water surged back to where it was and they drowned. At that time, Musa alayhi salam's on the other side, he's victorious, Fir'aun's about to lose his life. And the scholars say that the angel of death was observed by Fir'aun. Then he tried to claim faith. Then he tried to embrace faith. But it was no benefit to him then. Why? Because faith is only beneficial before the arrival of the angel of death. When you've seen the angel of death, when you've seen the truthfulness of Islam, you can't live your life like Fir'aun did and then try to accept Iman and Islam, to believe in Allah and his prophet Musa alayhi salam, and he drowned with the rest of his people. So this was another miracle. Then we have the miracle of Prophet Musa alayhi salam's blessed hand. This miracle is mentioned in Al-Quran al-Kareem, that when he would place his hand into the collar of his shirt, his upper garment, and just below the underarm, he would take it out and it would be glowing bright. And then he would place it back into the same area and he would take it out, it would be back to normal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in Al-Quran al-Kareem where he says, وَضْمُمْ يَدَكَ إِلَىٰ جَنَاحِكَ تَخْرُجْ بَيْضَاءَ مِنْ غَيْرِ سُوءٍ آيَةً أُخْرَى. And place your hand towards your arm, meaning beneath your arm. It shall come out bright, white, without any illness, as another miraculous sign. So these were miracles that were granted to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. Now, if we look at his blessed dhat, we look at his blessed personality, and the things that I've mentioned so far, what do we learn? We learn that Musa alayhi salam was very compassionate towards his ummah. They used to disobey him time and time again, but he was very forbearing, very patient with them, very compassionate towards them, wanted betterment for them, good for them, khair for them. We also learn that despite the difficulties he faced in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he never once hesitated in proclaiming the truth. Musa alayhi salam, Harun alayhi salam was his vizier, his brother with him. They never once doubted this mission. They knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supported them and he would help them and they would emerge victorious. We also learn, being around blessed people is a means of great barakah. The Bani Israel are benefiting from the water that gushed forth from the rock that Musa alayhi salam struck with his asa mubarak, his blessed staff. How long did they drink that water for? 40 years. 40 years, along with the animals as well. This was the barakah of Musa alayhi salam. Today even, you find pious personalities in the ummah, awliya, sulaha, righteous people, you should cling to them. You should adopt their company, join their company. And when you do, you will see firsthand the barakat that descend upon you, inshallah. Now, whenever they had problems, what would they do? They would go to Musa alayhi salam, they would ask him, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make dua that this problem, this difficulty is alleviated. Again, we learn from this that today we should visit the awliya, we should visit the mashayikh, the ulama, ask them to do dua for us. We can do dua ourselves and we should do dua ourselves. But we learn from the account of Musa alayhi salam, we learn from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How many times did the Sahaba come and request the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to do dua for them? Did the Prophet alayhi salam say to them, go home and do dua yourself? Why are you asking me for? You've been commanded to do dua? Don't ask me. No. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave duas time and time again to his devotees. And Musa alayhi salam, his people would come to him. They would request dua whenever they faced any difficulty. He would make dua for them. Their problems would be alleviated. And also, we learn that those people who go against the beloveds of Allah, those who go against those who are accepted in the court of Allah, like Musa alayhi salam, then they are humiliated and disgraced by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What happened to Fir'aun and his people in the end? They drowned. They suffered great loss. Now this is a lesson even today for people who act like tyrants, who are arrogant, who are oppressive, who think that they can get away with everything. They should learn from Bani Israel. They should learn from these Quranic waqiyat. People think they can harm others. People think they can oppress others and get away with it. But we know as Muslims that there is Yawmul Jaza, Yawmul Deen, the day of recompense, meaning Yawmul Qiyamah. In the dunya, if someone has momentary strength, he's overpowering others, he's defeating others, and he thinks he's in the right for doing that, then he will face the consequences and it'll be a massive eye-opener for him. A massive, you could say, shock to the system for that person. When on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks a person for his every action, asks a person about his every action. So today, as Muslims as well, when we see around the world what's taking place, what's going on, we should never lose heart. We should never think, where is the help of Allah? Allah Ta'ala's help will come at the time He has willed. Allah Ta'ala's assistance will come. No one can overpower Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a respite for people. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving time to people to realize the error of their ways. And when they won't, Allah Ta'ala will destroy them. So this is something that as Muslims we need to learn. We need to study Al-Quran Al-Kareem. The nations of the past, when they became obstinate, when they became arrogant, when they became daring in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they claimed purity and piety for themselves, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? He made them a manifestation of His wrath. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them an example for all of mankind, a sign of admonishment for all of mankind. So today we heard a bit about the great Prophet of Allah, Sayyiduna Musa, ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, mentioned most in Al-Quran Al-Kareem. He had so many miracles. And then we heard today about the five messengers, Ulul Azm, the highly resolute messengers, from which Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam is one. He faced every difficulty with patience, with forbearance, with determination, with wholehearted belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, And this is what we need to do today as Muslims as well. When we go through tribulations in life, afflictions in life, and we all do in various forms, everybody's problem could be different, but we never lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember the wisdoms behind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's actions, His ahkamat, whether we understand them or not, we are still bound by them. And many a times it happens in our lives that we go through a calamity, a problem, and we think, why this? Why am I going through this right now? Or someone loses a loved one, for example. And say, oh, the loved one hadn't seen any happiness. And they may utter wrong kalimat as well. But there are so many things, the wisdom of which we only find out later. We find out along the line. So we never question the ahkamat, the actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the af'al of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We submit ourselves before them wholeheartedly. Inshallah, there is bliss in this, there is barakat in this. May Allah ta'ala grant us steadfast iman, wholehearted belief in Him and His beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen, bijahin nabir, ameen, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. For the sake